Well, we're pleased to be joined here today by Peace River MLA Dan Williams, who I know has been a very busy man recently, so we appreciate you taking the time to join us here.
Very happy to be with you, Kyle.
Well, one of the first things kind of want to talk with you today is there's been a lot of announcements recently around some MSI funding and sort of funding for different grants that have kind of come to the region up here. How big is this to kind of see some provincial dollars work in our direction here?
Absolutely. It feels like it's never-ending stream sometimes. We've been really lucky with this government in Peace River, having some of the highest per capita funding that Peace River as a constituency has seen in our history. So just talking to the town of Rainbow Lake yesterday, I was out visiting with their council, addressing a lot of issues, excited to back them on any work they're doing going forward as a community surrounding geothermal opportunities. But we also brought up the $400,000 in MSI that I think is going towards an upgrade in the Devonian Park. So that was obviously important. Quality of life for folks who live in the north really matters. We're utilitarian. We care about getting the job done, but we also like to relax. We like to live in communities that are beautiful and places for us to recreate. So good that they have the opportunity to be able to upgrade that and work on their recreation spaces. And then also here in Peace River, we're interviewing today. We got just under $500,000 for rehabilitating wastewater treatment with the town, which is important. I've worked with a lot of projects in the town from the very first month that I got elected, working on a water reservoir with them to find funding as well. So we're going to continue to work to make sure that these treatment services that we have that are essential to our community are continue to work and provide for the folks who live and work and play in the Peace River area.
And certainly we've talked a bit before, kind of your job creation and, different things going on. And, how will your things like, these announcements recently sort of add to that?
Well, it all plays into the Alberta Recovery Strategy. The government's been very proactive about being, yes, tight on our spending to make sure we're spending responsibly. Albertans elected us to make sure we're spending within our means. But also, especially during COVID, especially when we had tough times, see that we're still creating jobs and maintaining businesses. And I can tell you now, I'm thinking like it looks like it's worked. I mean, we're going to see what Minister Travis Tays has to say at the end of February when he tables his budget. But I'm very, very optimistic about the economic and fiscal position we're in. Folks have been so frustrated with COVID and restrictions and everything else. I get that. But we seem to have missed the red-hot economy that's been going on for an entire year now and is just taking off. And this summer is going to be huge. And the projects that we've seen, last year we saw millions upon millions of dollars in road construction and infrastructure coming into the province, into our constituency. We see all sorts of projects taking off. We have a school here in Peace River, Quatre-Vents, that is starting construction, Blue Hill School up north, all sorts of work like in Manning the Deller Lodge. All this contributes to more and more good, high-paying quality jobs for individuals moving to or already living in our constituency and our communities. I think that's really Alberta's success. It's the Alberta advantage, and we're starting to see our economy really take off now, and I'm excited about it.
Well, thank you that I've noticed with you recently and following kind of your Facebook pages. You've been involved in quite a number of different meetings with all sorts of people. What are kind of some things you got kind of going on right now?
Oh, I mean, I've been trying to stay as busy as I can, especially since coming out of Christmas. I found a new energy and excitement in the constituency in the province. People are ready to just put everything behind them and move forward. So working with the Premier and the Minister of Health on the new health center coming into Lacrete, brought a lot of interesting data that came out of some of my communities and I-Corps lab testing. Mayo Labs out of the United States did the testing through I-Corps and the community of Lacrete through the Chamber of Commerce. So I presented that and showing the robust natural immunity that the community has and spoke to the minister about it. Obviously concerned also about post-secondary education for our constituents. So I had meetings with different ministers, particularly the Minister of Advanced Education, and penned a letter with my good friend and colleague, Joseph Scow, from the opposite end of the province, down by the American border, about the importance of making sure that our post-secondary institutions and the presidents that run those institutions are being fair and flexible with the programming that they offer. Now, they're publicly funded institutions, every one of these, and taxpayer dollars fund them. We want to make sure that, yes, the programming and the education that they offer is done safely, but we have to make sure we're not excluding folks because they've made personal health decisions. We have to make sure that folks, whether or not they've been vaccinated or have an option to test if they're going to go to university, because this is their future. This is the future that's going to provide for their family, be pillars in our community, and build Alberta going forward. We have this red-hot economy. We're going to need pipe fitters and tradesmen and women. We're going to need folks who are teachers and, heck, nurses. We always want more nurses and healthcare professionals. I mean, I spoke to one fella whose son is in law school and came back to Alberta so that he could go to law school, a place where testing would be allowed, and the U of A changed its policy. And now this kid is learning online. It just strikes me that if these kids are learning remotely, these young adults are trying to become the professionals of the next generation, if they can learn remotely, then surely we should have enough flexibility to allow them to test and not only have one-size-fits-all vaccine mandates.
And in keeping it kind of the vaccine mandate theme, obviously there's been a lot of discussion of that recently with, you know, what we've seen in the trucking industry over the last week or so. And as you mentioned, that letter you did with Joseph Scow, the MLA for Carson Siksika, about the kind of the post-secondary aspect of things. What are some of the thoughts you have in sort of this whole kind of discussion around vaccine mandates right now?
Well, I encourage folks to get vaccinated. I think that there's been a long push from our government to make sure that we can continue to do business as usual and stay open. But it's got to be the choice of individuals. I've been firm on that. It is up to individuals to make that choice informed with their family, with their physicians. And I'm just so upset that Justin Trudeau is forcing a mandate on Albertan truckers, who are the lifeblood that pump our economy and pump these resources and our goods from the very north down to markets and vice versa. And he's saying that they absolutely only have one option. Heck, if Alberta Health Services, when these folks who deal with acute care settings and vulnerable populations, if they can be flexible enough, if the healthcare sector can be flexible enough to allow testing and a not one-size-fits-all option, then surely the trucking industry, and Justin Trudeau can do the same, then surely so can our post-secondaries. I think it's just common sense. Most Albertans look at that, no matter where they stand on this question of vaccines, and they say it doesn't pass the smell test to be only offering one option. Surely we can be thoughtful. Surely we can be Canadian and Albertan and allow people a bit of choice and flexibility in their lives and try and make sure that rural Albertans don't get the short end of the stick again.
And finally, since we are fairly early on in the year here, there are a lot of people that like to do the New Year's resolutions. I'm not usually one of those people, but what about you? Are you one of the New Year's resolutions people? And if so, what do you got for this year?
Well, don't tell my Mennonite voters up north, but I gave up booze for the first 3 months of the year. We'll see if I can get to Easter. So I'm doing what I can to try and, you know, follow through on the commitment I made to my wife and get healthy. Like so many, I'm very, very, I'm on the edge every week whether or not I'm going to stick to my commitments, but yeah, I think it's important, especially in this time after COVID, where there's been a lot of isolation, people by themselves, not just physically by themselves, but, you know, mentally and emotionally by themselves, to stay healthy. So whatever you're committed to, be sure to keep yourself physically healthy. I mean, I'm a big advocate of our gyms and recreation centers. I've done all I can to try and keep them as accessible and as open as possible. It's something I bring up regularly, so please go access them if you can. If that's something that gives you some sense of solace and comfort, do that. If it keeps you sane, as much as you can, hang out with your friends, with your family, stay connected. That's what I want for this year. I just want people to feel like we're putting this stuff behind us, they can live their life normally, and I'm very optimistic in the days to come that that's exactly what's going to happen.
Certainly kind of share a bit of some of that optimism as well there. Peace River MLA Dan Williams, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks, Kyle. Good luck, everyone.